Open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and we're up to 13, verse 13 of the Sermon on the Mount. So if we all stand for the reading of God's Word. Matthew 5 from verse 13. You, the Christians that is, are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask that you would help us now to understand your word, that you would visit us in the preaching of this word this morning. Help us to live for your glory. We come, Lord, as these disciples did here, to sit at your feet, to learn from you, so teach us, O Lord, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Okay, I want you to think with me now regarding the link between the previous verses and our text today. You see, for the past several weeks now, we have been considering what are known as the Beatitudes. Those statements of our Lord Jesus that all begin with, blessed are, oh how happy are, which are really characteristics though, or attributes of all Christians, true ones. As we said, those are really the difference between a true and a dead religion. Well, sometimes people think, if you could do all those things and be more like Jesus, then everyone would love you. But the problem with that kind of thinking, you know, being the merciful and patient and so forth in there, but the problem with that kind of thinking is Jesus was more like Jesus and they crucified him. And so our Lord warned us, we saw in the last Beatitude there, of the reality of persecution. That is, if you are a Christian, then yes, some people will take note of you and be drawn to that and ask you for a reason for the hope that is within you, and you can tell them of Christ and the gospel. But some people will persecute you simply because you belong to Christ. Some people, because our Lord says, because you show a glimmer of Christ in you, some others will revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. And so I want you to think here of the link between the previous verses there about persecution and the reality of it and our text today. You see, on hearing that you are going to face persecution at some time or other as a Christian, what's the natural reaction to that? The natural reaction is to want to withdraw from the world. On hearing that some people will persecute you and revile you and say false things about you simply because you manifest Christ to them in some way, well, the natural reaction is to want to hide those attributes from them, somehow suppress that you're a Christian. Well, our Lord makes it clear now in our text that is not what he's called us to do. As he says in verse 13 of Matthew 5, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You see, these verses tell us that the Christian, under normal circumstances, from day to day I mean, is not someone who lives in isolation and completely withdraws from society. In other words, you cannot live those attributes, those beatitudes we've been looking at in the previous verses, you cannot live them by some form of withdrawing from society. All throughout history, people have made this mistake. There are people who have gone wrong on this. They think wrongly the way to holiness, they think the way to live the Sermon on the Mount is by a withdrawal, some form of withdrawal from the world. And so you had people who became monks, completely removing themselves from society in monasteries, thinking that's the way to holiness. You have those, you know, who created an Amish-only society, a so-called Christian-only society. They thought that's the way. We'll flee persecution and we can live holy lives. Or why don't we sail 2,000 miles across the Atlantic Ocean? Then we can not be persecuted and live as Christians. You see, you have professing Christians today who think, if I could just be a missionary in the jungle, or if I could just cut off as much of the world as I can and cut off contact with it, then I could be holy. But these verses here put an immediate end to that interpretation. You see, as we see in these verses, as the saying goes, you are to be in the world, but not of it. You are to be in the world, though. You're to have an effect on it. As Paul said, you'd have to come completely out of the world. That we're not called to do that, to withdraw from sinners and so forth. You see, as verse 13 says, you are the salt of the earth. What does our Lord mean here by you are the salt? Remember, he's speaking to disciples, the Christians. What does he mean by salt? You are the salt. Well, obviously he doesn't mean, as the so-called experts used to say a few years ago, which has obviously since been debunked, that salt is bad for you and so you're some kind of poisonous substance. You know, I remember one time I was sat in my grandma was pouring salt all over a roast dinner, which looked pretty much like that snow outside by the end of it. And my mum was rebuking her, saying, "Mum, you're not going to live till you're old if you have that much salt." To which my grandma replied, "I'm 92. As our Lord said in Luke's Gospel, salt is good. So there's something good about it. You see, this is a good influence, something good that's being spoken, a good effect that's being spoken of you here. There is some quality in the Christian that's essential for the earth. So what does he mean by earth there? Well, obviously not nature, but the people of the whole earth. Humanity as a whole, if you like. You see, the Christian is the salt of humanity. What does our Lord mean by this then? What does salt do? One thing that salt does, of course, is have a preservative quality. It stops things becoming putrid, becoming rotten. It has a kind of antiseptic quality, doesn't it? You see, the earth here, really speaking of the rottenness of the earth. That is the state of the earth. And remember, it's talking about the people in the world. You know, this isn't the Lord looking at nature and thinking just rotten, rather, but the people, the hearts of people, is what God is concerned with here. You know, it's interesting, isn't it, how man today draws attention to all the problems with the state of the earth as in nature, but our Lord draws the attention so that it's the people of the earth who are in a state of rottenness and decay. You see, it's the world's tendency to do evil. You see, this effect upon the Christian, this salt in the first instance here, is a restraining one. I mean, you can see this as a Christian, can't you? When you go into a room with non-Christians, they suddenly start apologizing. Oops, excuse my French. And they begin to restrain the bad language around you or whatever evil talk. Not just in their words, but in their acts also. There is a restraining grace of a Christian by just being there. You see, there is this deep down conscience in people where they know what they're doing is wrong. But whereas normally they would just be an unrestrained evil, just by you, the Christian, being there, they are restrained. You see, you, the Christian, are the salt of the earth. You have this putrefying effect, stopping the decay of the world, stopping it be as bad as it is. But the second thing salt does, of course, though, is it flavors. There are many commentators, it was interesting, who seem to downplay this part, but it seems to me this is the primary thing that our Lord is referring to here, because he then says, if the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing. I mean, salt certainly flavors or gives savor to food, doesn't it? As Job rightly said, can that which is tasteless be eaten without salt? Obviously, he was being rhetorical there. He wasn't expecting people to say, well, no, I've trained myself. That's disgusting, is Paul's rhetorical. You see, this world is a better place than it otherwise would be because of Christians being a savor of grace, if you like. But salt also gives a thirst. And we are meant to leave people with a thirst for him, to want to know Christ. Which we'll see the connection with light here in a moment, though. But you know, by those attributes, basically. Of course, salt sometimes in a wound, it stings. So to some people, you're going to have that effect. But the Christian is the salt of the earth. But as verse 13 continues, if salt has lost its state, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Now, as Martin Lloyd-Jones rightly pointed out here, there are a lot of commentators and theologians who start going on at this, a different kind of mixed salt that was apparently available in the Middle East. But that is not our Lord's point here. But rather, this is a rhetorical question, denoting an impossibility, something that people don't do. Just like in the next verse when he says, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. You don't light a lit kind of candly type lamp and put it under a basket. No one does that, is the idea. You see, it would be like saying, who makes ice cubes to warm yourself up with? Or what good would be an ice cube if it wasn't cold? It would be good for nothing. You see, you wouldn't be saying there are. So you see, it's an absurdity or an impossibility that our Lord is referring to here. You see, without this salt effect, a Christian would not be the salt of the earth and not doing any good, basically. So we see here in this verse that the Christian is different somewhat from the world. There must be something different about us. But the difference here is not a pharisaical outward difference like any cult can do. It's not being different for the sake of being different. You know, announcing your Christianity all the time even. You know, you have that kind of outward ceremonial cultish, if you like, religion, just rebuked, that Pharisaical religion rebuked and put down all over the New Testament. You see, any cult can do that. Well, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Where it's just a list of rules and regulations. He's not saying that is the salt of the earth here. But rather, those attributes he's just been talking about in the previous. The blessed are, poor in spirit and so forth. The meek and the merciful and so forth. The peacemakers, as we said.
Reconciling
men to God. You know, all those attributes and so forth. If the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You see, there's someone once said, salt is, except for the case of my grandma, it's inconspicuous almost. It does a job without you seeing it a lot of times. And you know, the Christian doesn't have to be loud or kind of, I'm using a figure of speech here, but I mean even in your actions, kind of announcing this religion all the time. But there should be, people thinking there is something different. They see a difference. They something drawing. There is something of grace in you. They want to know, what have these people got? What is the hope that you have within you? And then verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. What does our Lord mean here? The Christian is the light of the world. Well, this light is a theme we see all over Scripture. God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. We see our Lord. Jesus is God there. But you see, he is the light. He is the way. And we, being the lights of the world, he tells us we are because we reflect his light. Like the sun or the moon or like the reflector on the bicycle, we don't have any light of our own, but the business of the church, the business of a Christian, is to shine for Jesus. What does he mean exactly by light? Well, again, your word is a lamp to my feet. Knowledge of God and how we walk, the knowledge of salvation, knowledge of the true God as his disciples. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who said, let there be light, let the light shine out of the darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Speaking of the gospel there. You see, as a Christian, you have this light, this knowledge, correct knowledge of God here. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, verse 15. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Christians must be concerned for the people of the world, showing truth in word and deed. Not hiding it is the idea. Not hiding these. Again, a Christian must resemble these attributes we've looked at, those beatitudes. It's not a case of, again, we covered this, I wouldn't cover it, but I mentioned it at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount there. We do this not by withdrawing ourselves from the world. The way you live the Sermon on the Mount is telling us how to live in the world as a Christian, around people. Be holy in the world. And notice he says, you are the light of the world here. I mean, he's speaking, consider who he's speaking to here. Fishermen. In the first instance, in the place where people were despised also. And he calls them, you are the light of the world. He doesn't say those elite in Jerusalem. But you are the light of the world. You see, the least Christian, the least person who has salvation in Christ, is the light of the world. Men by their wisdom, with all their degrees and PhDs, they knew not God. But he's revealed it unto babes. Verse 15, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. So you have this analogy here of the old lantern lamp, which would burn off fuel. But you don't light, I mean, you don't, to use a modern analogy, you don't turn a torch on and put it in your pocket. It's absurd, is the analogy here. It's ridiculous, our Lord is saying. So, again, all these attributes we've been looking at, being a Christian, your relationship to Christ, you don't hide. Don't compromise the truth, because that's one way to hide it, isn't it? By compromising there. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Again, don't isolate yourself is the common message here. Don't isolate yourself from the people around you. Live so others come to salvation. Live to glorify Him. Not live for self-glory. He doesn't say, do your good works that people may glory in you, but your concern should be what people will think of Jesus. Your concern should, you know, people want to know Him. And notice, let your, this is something we do. He's been telling us who you are. He's told you to rejoice, but He's also told you here, let your, don't hide. Be out there. Again, keep saying this, but people get this lopsided view. The way to be holy is to withdraw. Cut everyone off from your everyone secular, everyone lost, and so forth. But if you read the instruction on Christian living in the New Testament, it wasn't a withdrawal, was it? It was to be around people, being salt and light, with the aim of winning them to Christ, having this, again, this salt effect around. Something else we see here once again is sanctification, growing in holiness, becoming more like Christ, is being who you are. Realizing who you are and being who you are. Notice Jesus says here, He doesn't say, turn on a light or try and be salt. Being a Christian is not trying to be something you're not, but He says you are this, doesn't He? So realize who you are. Realize who you are, your position in Christ. This glorious position. I mean, you are the light of the world. As it's often said, it's become a cliche, but it's a true saying that you're the only Bible a lot of people will read. You know, by seeing you, by seeing your life, having conversations with you, glimpses of you. So don't hide away, is the idea of this verse. You know, be amongst people in normal daily life. That's why the instruction in the New Testament, it talks about being in homes, families, how to relate to people in the world, and so forth. It's never withdraw as a Christian. So let's pray. Our Father, we just thank You that we are a city, the church, that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. It would be ridiculous otherwise. Lord, we thank You, Lord, and that You would give us this glorious position of being luminous for You, lights of the world, salt of the world. Lord, may we never be the stench of false religion that is good for nothing, not even fit for the dunghill. In Jesus' name, amen.